So I just want to share a thought that I shared also during the last election day, but we always have it on Tuesday, so it's always elections, they come to the class, right?
Right.
So I mentioned last time, I mentioned again, you know, people have their political views, Democrat, Republican, Trump, no Trump, this and that. We have to realize that the blessing we have living in America, number one, that we can actually have a say in what happens, and number two, no matter who wins, they're far better than places we've been in the past 2,000 years. There's no Stalin, there's no Hitler, there's no King Ferdinand, there's no Paro, there's no Achashverosh. Now, whatever opinion is of every politician out there, you know, we're much better shape than Jews have been in exile for 2,000 years, regardless of who wins. So I think that's an important perspective to have, no matter how you vote and who you like, who you don't like. You know, it's so important for us to keep that in mind, that we can't get too bound in these things, looking at it in a bigger perspective. 100 years ago, when Jews were under anti-Semitic, terrible European rulers, when you're under the Tsar in Russia, when they're under Stalin, you know, these are far worse than anything we can imagine in America. So we thank God to be in America, and we're happy that we can be part of their system. And whoever wins, we have to realize that we're in much better shape than Jews have been in 2,000 years. So I think that's important to keep in mind. Especially in 2016, when everyone was so into Trump versus Hillary, I think that was a very important thought. Even now, it's still an important thought. Every election is an important thought to have. So the next mitzvah we're up to, this will be number 546 and 547, and it's the mitzvah to build a protective wall around your roof, which we'll discuss, and to be sure that your house and property remains safe. So just to put it into perspective here, we spoke last week about sending away the mother bird. And we said that one reward offered for Shiluach HaKan, one thing the Torah guarantees, or at least one possible reward that it gives to a person, is to merit having a new house. And the reason for that is because immediately following the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, it says, Ki yivneh bayis chadash, if somebody builds a new house, you should build a wall around the roof. So the Torah, because it says immediately following the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, that you will build a house, so the sages see that as a connection, that sending a mother bird away will give you the merit of having a house. So that's just, we see that continuation of the psukim and how they flow.
Is it true that it's only a kosher bird? Somebody told me.
Yeah, that's true.
I did not know.
That's true. You should listen to last week's recording. You can get all the details. Mm-hmm. So just to read what it says in the Torah about this wall, Ki sivne bayis chadash, when you build a new house, v'yasisa ma'ake l'gagecha, you should make a ma'ake. So ma'ake is a unique word. You don't find this word anywhere else really in the Torah, but we translate it as a wall. It's a protective fence or protective wall around the roof. V'lo sasim damim b'vesecha, you should not have blood in your house, meaning there shouldn't be any danger or accidents, God forbid, in your house. When the faller would fall from the house, from the roof. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is we're trying to prevent accidents. Somebody's on your roof, and we'll see that we're talking about roofs that actually had usage. Meaning our modern day roofs in America are typically on a slope, and sloped roofs do not require this fence because they're not really used for anything. We're talking about a roof people actually go upon and actually use it for
flat.
A flat roof. Yeah. The penthouse, so sometimes a balcony. Yeah, so balconies could definitely fit into this. We'll talk about. Even in this, certain places do have flat roofs. You see it, I think, more often maybe in Europe than in America. And places do have flat roofs. You can go up there and you can put things up there. You can put chairs out, a swimming pool. You know, hang your laundry. But there's roofs that people actually go out and use on a flat roof. So that would require a ma'ake. Your typical roof in America does not require a ma'ake because it's a sloped roof which isn't used for any. You're only up there really to make repairs these days. You're not up there for any other reason.
Ma'ake is mem?
Mem ayin kuf hei.
Ma'ake.
Yeah, mem ayin kuf hei. This mitzvah, though, it has within it two mitzvos. One is the positive command to build the ma'ake, and one is the prohibition, lo sasim dami v'secha, not to have any danger in your house. And we'll discuss both aspects of it. So as usual, let's go through some of the rules, and then we'll talk about the meaning. So the simple mitzvah is, like we said, if you have a roof, to build a wall around your roof. But this also extends not only to roofs, really to any opening or any place someone can fall around your house, you should make a fence. So a balcony would fall under this as well. If you have an exposed well or pit on your property, you have to make sure that there's a wall or it's at least covered in some way. A stairwell that could have a dangerous drop, you should make sure there's a fence there as well. Basically, you're trying to make sure that there's no place in your property that could lead to a fall. Like we said, if the roof is flat is where it actually applies. If it's an area that is not really designed for usage, it doesn't apply. Also, it's interesting, if the roof is less than 4x4 amos, which we'll call, let's say, about 6x6 feet, there's no requirement to put a maket. That's not really considered a usable area. It's so small. So let's say you had like a flat doghouse or something. You know, so no requirement for a maket on top of a doghouse.
Also,
height, yeah. So the height, the minimum height, the required maket is 10 tefachim, which we say is about 40 inches. So if you have something which is only 20 inches off the ground, even if it's a large flat surface, there's no need for a maket. But if you're about 40 inches, I guess it would be probably about the table, a little bit above, mm-hmm. something like that, that would require a maket. So you could think about different areas of your home where there might be little drops, fall-offs, and as you're sure in those areas, there should be some protective fence to guard from falling. When it comes to a pit, a cover suffices as well. So you don't have to build a wall around the pit. You could put a cover on the pit. That would also be okay. This then is the strength of the wall should be enough to support a human being, because the point is to stop someone from falling. So if you put up this flimsy little fence that somebody can knock over, that's not good enough. It should be strong enough that a human being would actually be caught on that fence. So it's strong enough to hold up a human being. The mitzvah then extends beyond walls and pits and drops. The rabbis say that this mitzvah extends to anything in your property that could cause any sort of fatal accident. So for instance, to have around a very shaky old rickety ladder, which is tall enough that if someone went onto it and it would fall or break, it could kill them, then you can't have that around, or you have to fix it. It even speaks about in the Gemara, if you own a very vicious dog, which would attack people who come to your home, that's also a problem of this prohibition. Lo sasim damim, don't have things in your home that could cause bloodshed. You should be sure that your house is a safe place for all who come. So you're allowed to own a dog, not a vicious dog that's untamed. You're allowed to have ladders, but you should make sure those ladders are safe ladders, not rickety, rusted, shaky ladders that could cause somebody to fall and, God forbid, be killed. So you can extend this to many other things in your home beyond just roofs and balconies and pits. There's a lot of things we can probably think of that when we have dangerous things around. I would even suggest leaving out, let's say, bottles of medication the kids could get to that are improperly sealed up or protected. That's also part of it, because that could be damim v'secha. You have to be sure that your home is a safe place for all those who come. So these are all different steps of safety. If you want to build this fence, so there is an idea called mitzvah bo yosur v'shlucho. If you have a chance to do a mitzvah, it's better you do it than a messenger. So many of us are not handy enough to build a fence around our roof or our balcony, so you want to hire a contractor. So ideally, you should do it if you can. If you don't have that skill, which is fine and common, so then you can appoint a messenger to do it, an agent. It would be best for this mitzvah to have a Jew do it, because since it's a mitzvah, it's not just a home improvement. This is actually a mitzvah to do. You want to appoint a Jew to be your messenger, because they can fulfill the mitzvah for you. If another Jew builds the balcony, or builds the fence, then a bracha is said. Whether you do it or another Jew does, you can make a bracha on building this fence. The bracha on the fence is Asher Kisham Mitzvah Savet Sivanu. I write down the wording. I can't remember if it's lasos makeh or alasias makeh. It's lasos makeh, to make a makeh. So you make a bracha lasos makeh. So if you do it yourself, that bracha can be made. If you do it through a Jewish messenger, that bracha can be made. If you hire a non-Jewish contractor to build this fence, it's actually disputed if you're fulfilling your mitzvah. I mean, on the one hand, the home is a safe place, so you're not violating this prohibition of having an unsafe home. But there's a positive command, go out and build this fence. So if a non-Jew does it for you, it could be you haven't done your mitzvah. Your home is now safe, but their mitzvah is not accomplished. I can't have a non-Jew do other mitzvahs for me. No, they're not obligated to mitzvahs, so they can't perform mitzvahs. A Jew who is obligated can be my messenger for a mitzvah. A non-Jew cannot. So many say if a non-Jew builds that fence for you, you've taken care of the problem, and the home is now safe, but you haven't done the positive command of building the fence. So if you have this in your home, it's recommended you find a Jew to do it for you, a Jewish contractor would be the best way to go. Being that a makeh is actually considered a mitzvah object, it's funny, because look at it as part of the house. It's just a little fence, but it's actually a mitzvah object. So you should treat it with respect. Don't walk on it, don't throw dirt upon it, don't dump garbage on it. It has to be treated with respect, the same way you might treat a talus or a lulav or a piece of matzah that you eat on Pesach. You should treat it with that respect as well. again, this means the actual makkah around the roof, which most of us do not have. But if you have a makkah, you should treat it with respect of any other mitzvah item. So those are the different rules of makkah. And it does come up sometimes that, again, the roof thing is not as common in America, but certainly balconies are common. Balconies should be made secure and safe. And stairwells. And the stairwells are a common place where it could be you don't put up a little fence in between the levels, but there should be a barrier there, because that is an issue that somebody could, God forbid, fall and get very hurt from falling down a stairwell. So you have to put those precautions. Yeah.
Should you, since it's a mitzvah, should you beautify it? You build a fence,
like a nicer fence.
Paint it, and yeah.
Seemingly, I didn't see a source for that, but it makes sense. In the same way, any mitzvah item you beautify, you should have a nice talus, a nice lulav, a nice makkah too. You should make a nice fence. Yeah.
I think this neighborhood, you know, where there's a lot of religious people, so are people putting these on their roofs?
Well, before I mentioned that if the roof is sloped and not used, you don't have to put one on.
Oh, no.
It's only for a flat roof that has usage. So I want to go through some of the different lessons you find in this mitzvah. The simple meaning is obvious, safety. And the Torah definitely recognizes safety as a value. You're supposed to guard your own safety and guard safety for others. And that's a responsibility we have. And that's a Torah value, is to make sure that things are safe and people come to your home and not be fearful of any sort of accidents. The actual pasuk tells us that. It says, build the makkah, keep on no falling menu, because the faller might fall from it. So you have to be sure nobody falls from your home, and you don't want that liability. You don't want to have anybody come to your home and have to be scared that the house is not a safe place. But different commentaries actually draw out from this even different lessons and deeper lessons from this idea. So I'm going to start with the commentary of the Netziv, the Amik Dover. He says that the whole mitzvah is under the headline of Kisivne Bayis Chadash, when you build a new home. So the truth is, it applies even to an old home. No, if your house, you've lived there for 40 years and didn't have a makkah, you still have to build a makkah on it. It's not about a new house. So why does the Torah specify the new house when essentially it applies to any house? So the Netziv says that there's a special lesson here, which is that when you do build a home, it should be built with the foundation of a mitzvah. Meaning that a new house, the first thing you want to do is focus on how can this house be infused with holiness. So when you build it in the blueprints, besides all the rooms that you want, there should be a makkah, because the makkah gives it the holiness of a mitzvah in its foundation. So the Netziv tells us that, and the rule is that it's actually forbidden to live in a home without a proper makkah. If you have a roof that requires a makkah, and you don't have the makkah up, you can't live in that house until you put the makkah up. So therefore, the house has now been founded upon a mitzvah, and now the building of this home is infused with the holiness of a mitzvah. And that's part of the idea of a makkah. So besides the safety factor, it gives the home a different tone. This home is a home of holiness. The home or mitzvos are the primary focus. And therefore the makkah symbolizes that within the building of the home, you're building into it mitzvos. That's what you're doing. I guess the mezuzah has a similar idea as well. When you build a home, the mezuzah also gives that infuses that holiness in it. But the mezuzah is different, because the mezuzah is not part of the construction. It's an additional thing you kind of slap on the wall when you're done. The makkah is part of the construction of the home. So it's even in a deeper sense putting mitzvos into your home. Then a mezuzah. Yeah.
You mentioned about putting a railing around on a staircase.
Yeah.
So in our house, we had a staircase, but the first three steps down, there was no railing. You had to first walk down three steps.
Right.
And then we had the railing. So a couple of months ago, we put up a new railing.
Yeah.
So now my question, it was a non-Jewish contractor. Now, if I asked him, could I put a nail into it, or can I paint part of it, would that be... would that mean that would be mine?
I would think it has to be the meaningful act to make it actually secure. So I don't know if painting or putting in one nail. If you're putting in the nail that's going to hold it up, then I think that'd be enough. But I think that just painting it would not be enough to do your mitzvah. And to my understanding, the bracha is only made if you actually build it around your roof. I mean, you're obligated to put it everywhere,
right?
But the bracha is only on the roof. But either way, it's good. If you do a contractor who's not Jewish, maybe it is a good idea to ask him, can I please help with that one step?
Right.
So I can do my mitzvah. Tighten that screw, which is going to hold it in. Nail that one nail in. It's going to make it secure. I think that'd be worthwhile to do. I really do. Rav Hirsch writes a different point. Rav Hirsch says that when we build homes, we have to build a home with consideration for all. Meaning a Jewish home is not about ourselves. It's about caring for others, caring for the community. So when we have a house, even though I say, for me, I know the dangers. I don't go on the roof. I'm very careful. I'm an adult. There's no kids running around. It's fine. The answer is, well, that's you, but you're going to have people come through your house. There will be guests coming through, friends, family, and you have to be sure the house is built with consideration that everybody who comes through feels safe. Even if you have a repairman come in. You know, he doesn't know the ins and outs of the house. Maybe he'll fall, God forbid. So a home has to be built with consideration for others.
Excuse me, is there anything about people putting up a railing? When you go into a house, when people have steps and no railing, is there anything that...
Again, if it's 10 tefachim off the ground, they would need one, halachically. If the step is 40 inches off the ground, there should be a railing there. There should be a railing there.
Because we're talking, you know, number of steps when you want to get into someone's house.
Right, yeah. So, it would be, I guess, if the platform was the right size, 4x4 amos, and the height was 10 tefachim, it would require it. So that should be there. In that case, yeah. I think each step, because each step is where you have that danger of falling. I think so.
Each step is not 40 inches off the ground. And it's definitely not for amos.
It's not big, yeah. It's not going to be wide enough usually when it comes to steps. But if there's like a landing on top, that could be wide enough. But usually each step would not be wide enough to require a makkah. Might be good idea anyways, but in terms of the requirements, only if it's 4x4 amos. So Rav Hirsch says, when you build a home, you're trying to have everyone's consideration in mind. And it's a real value of the Torah is what we would call, let's say, the notion of yedidus, you know, friendship, care, and concern for others. And therefore, when you build your house, it has to be built with others in mind. My home should be a welcoming place to all. No one should feel endangered in my house. So if I have a roof with no wall around it, if I have steps without any sort of protection, if I have a vicious dog that runs around the house that bites my guests, that's not considered. So the dog loves me and comes over and licks me all the time and is happy when it's around me, but it goes and barks and bites the guests. So then my home is not a welcoming place for guests. I'm not considering others when I build this home. I have to be sure that everybody is taken into consideration when I build a house. That's our first point. And it's a very important point just because that's the perspective of a Jew. You know, Jews try to reach out at all times. Others should feel very, very welcomed and concerned about others. And if the house is not a welcoming place, then we're not doing our job. So this mitzvah has within it the whole notion of reaching out to other people and be considerate of them. Another point which is quoted is really a very important point about the way God runs the world. Hashkacha, the way Hashem oversees our lives in this world. And really there's two different commentaries speak about this point. One's the Ra'ah, one of the early Rishonim, one's the Sefer HaChinuch. The Ra'ah says that one of the responsibilities that we have is we can do our part in terms of safety. Meaning, God runs the world. You know, some people would say, what do you mean? If someone falls off my roof, it's not my fault. God made him do it. You know, if he tripped and fell off the roof, I had no fence, so what? You know, God runs the world. If the guy falls, that's not my problem. That's his problem, because God had him fall. There is a notion like that. We know there are certain religions out there that don't go for medical treatment. They say, God made me sick. God make me better, and why should I go to the doctor? You hear stories about this in the news all the time, you know, and then they end up with lawsuits, this and that, about do you care for the kid, not care for the kid. But there is that philosophy out there, which is not a Torah philosophy, that everything is in God's hands, so I have no personal responsibility. So if I'm sick, then okay, so I'm sick, and God made me sick, and I'll see what happens. If my home's dangerous and someone falls, okay, not my problem, God had him fall. But that's not true. The Torah says that we are responsible to take care of our own health. Yes, you have to guard your own soul, guard your own health, and your safety is in your hands. So we have to do our part, be responsible. So on the one hand, we'll talk about more. We can't go too crazy over safety. There's a limit to what is responsible and what is over the top. On the other hand, caring for our own health, eating healthy, exercising, making sure the home is a safe place. You know, not overdoing it on medications, all these things which people sometimes fall into the trap and become unhealthy because of. It's our job to say no. We have to care for ourselves. If we don't care for ourselves, then we can't blame God. We have to blame ourselves at that point. We go to doctors. You know, the Torah says, "Rapo yirape." You're supposed to go to a doctor if you get sick. There's actually a pasuk which tells us that. Because other religions don't believe in going to the doctor. So we say no, we believe in going to the doctor and being responsible for our own health. And that's a very important Torah value. So this mitzvah is saying that you have to be responsible. You have to be responsible for safety of others and safety of yourself. I'll add in, we'll talk about it more. You know, safety has been a big word the past few weeks, unfortunately, since the terrible tragedy in Pittsburgh. And every single shul sent out letters about safety, safety, safety. The Shiva had a meeting about safety. Everyone's had a meeting about safety, which is responsible to do. You know, we understand the dangers out there, and we have to be responsible and make sure that we're protected. But there's a fine line that we have to notice, which is that there is responsibility, but we also have to understand that we trust in God, that we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. I mean, you can't close down a shul because of safety concerns. You can't make it accessible to the people, because the purpose of a shul is people show up to come, learn, daven, socialize. And if we say, okay, we're putting up three fences and armed guards and lions in a moat, so then it's a very unwelcoming place to go, and it's going to make people not want to come to daven or learn Torah in the shul, which is its purpose. So you have to be able to, well, I want to discuss more maybe how to draw that line. But it's important that we have that line, and we understand that we have responsibility, but we also believe that we have responsibilities to God, and God cares for us. And both have to be dealt with when you're dealing with the security of a Jewish institution. The Sefer Chinuch says this. The Sefer Chinuch says, let's just say, you know, Hashem runs the world. If he wants someone to fall off my roof, then he'll fall. It's not my problem, like we said before. You know, the fence isn't really needed. So this isn't the right perspective. And the way he explains it is that, you know, God made nature with cause and effect. There's a reason why we have a natural sense of fear, at danger. There's a reason why we have, you know, a pain response in our bodies, that our bodies feel pain. And we're supposed to run away from that. There's a reason for that. You know, there's a natural course of events that we're supposed to kind of work with in life. So the fact that a roof is dangerous and someone can fall off of it, we don't say, well, God will figure it out. We say, no, that's God telling me, because God built into nature that there's gravity and falling can hurt and kill, and roofs are sloped, therefore it'll knock you off. That's natural. So we have to work within nature and make sure things remain safe. We rely upon miracles. God may make miracles at times. That's his own decision. But we don't rely on miracles. There's a rule which is the Gemara cites many times in Simchan Alanes. You don't rely upon miracles. You have to work within nature and take natural steps to make things safe, make things work. Miracles are God's business, not our business. We don't work with miracles. It's not something that we deal with in daily life. We have to make this balance, though, that we would call trust in God versus proper responsibility. And that's really what's considered real responsibility, and what's considered, you know, grabbing at straws and going kind of over the line. And that's the question. So we could say, you know, let's shut down the shul all week long besides davening hours. Let's make sure no one gets in, and we're totally safe. But then there's no shul, and there's nobody here to daven, to serve Hashem, and do what a shul needs to do. We could say, well, let's just leave the doors wide open. Everyone can come in. The welcoming place. And the answer there is, yeah, that's irresponsible. You know, that's responsibility. It's interesting that the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, for many decades, had no front door at all. Because they had the philosophy, it's a yeshiva, it's Bais Medrash, everyone should come in and learn. And Hashem will protect us. At a certain point they decided, well, that's not a safe policy, you know, based on the situation you have in Israel with terrorists and the like. So they put up a door. I don't think it's ever locked. There's a door there at least, you know. But they had no door for a very long time, because it's a matter of trying to straddle this line of making sure that we serve God properly and trusting in God versus taking on responsible means of security. So a fence around your roof is a natural, responsible thing to do. And the Torah requires the fence should be, I didn't say it, 10 tefachim tall. I didn't mention that before. The fence should be at least 10 tefachim tall, which is what's called 36 inches or so. To build a 10-foot fence because you're so scared of people falling off would be kind of going over the line. To put three rows of fencing and a safety net just in case, also going over the line. At a certain point you say, I did my job, you know, God takes care of the rest. And that we have to come to that understanding that when we do regular, everyday, responsible actions, we can trust that God will take care of everything else. We can have that trust. But we can't go over the line, and we can't be irresponsible. That's that.
So, does this apply to putting a fence around your country's border?
I don't want to talk about any politics, but
fences,
you know. If it's a safety issue.
If it's to prevent people from falling, yes.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to safety, then maybe. If it's an immigration issue, that's a different discussion. That's not our discussion here, but. But there's a flip side to it as well. You know, we do say that God runs the world. And if someone does fall, there's a reason he fell. And this is actually an important point which is brought out from this discussion. When the Torah says that someone might fall off your roof, the wording used is, ki'ipol ha'nofel mimenu. The faller might fall. So the Torah, the normal way you would describe this is you say a person might fall. But the Torah says, Hanofel, the faller will fall. Mm. So why is he a faller? He's only a faller once he falls. Before he fell, he was the person, then he fell. The Torah calls him the faller. You know, so why is he called a faller? So Rashi tells us, based on the Gemara, Rashi says that if somebody does fall, it means he was destined to fall. I mean, if God had it out for him, he should fall off a roof. That's what it means. However, the fact he fell off your roof, that's your fault. Meaning that this, if a person falls off a roof, God forbid, and dies, that means that God wanted that to happen one way or the other. But why is it happening on your watch, on your property? Why do you have to deal with the emotional pain, the liability, the guilt? That's because you deserve to have him fall because you didn't put up your fence. So from a very different perspective, and this is kind of a more of a supernatural look, you know, from divine providence, when the guy falls off a roof without a fence, it's not because the fence would have caught him. Because if God wants him to fall, he'll fall. It's because you are guilty for not following the mitzvah of putting up a fence. So there's a very different look at that. The fence naturally catches people, but if God wants someone to fall, he'll fall. But if you're guilty for not putting a fence up, then he'll fall off your roof because you're a guilty party in not doing the mitzvah. That's what Rashi tells us. Which is a very interesting look at things, because we say that nothing happens in this world without God wanting it to happen. On the other hand, we have to take responsibility. So when he falls on my watch, there's a higher cause and effect working over here. It's called Megalgalin Chovah Yidei Chayev. A liability happens to those who are liable. So when somebody falls, God, from my roof, I have to deal with it emotionally, physically, monetarily, in all areas. And that's because I'm guilty of something as well, and for not having a fence up there. So we have to see it from both ends. There's responsibility within this world, and I have to be careful about safety. But I also have to know that nothing will happen without God's desire. If somebody dies in a tragic manner, it's because God wanted it to happen. And we are responsible because we didn't do the mitzvah of putting up the fence. So there's a really delicate dance here between God's hashkacha, divine providence, versus nature. There's cause and effect in the physical world, and there's God's control of the physical world. And they work together in ways which we don't fully understand, but they have to work together. So we see that God has many, many, we call it Harbi Shluchim Shlamakam. God has many, many messengers. And if God needs somebody to go through a tragedy, it'll happen, one way or the other. But why is it happening on my roof and on my property? That's because I deserved to go through that as well from my angle. And it's a kind of a deep philosophical point of how God runs the world. But it's a lesson that comes from this.
Okay. Does it apply to the other side? The person gets a big blessing, or a big
yeah, Megalgal and Schosai Dezakai, same thing. If something meritorious happens through those who have merits. It's the same point. That's a good point. If something great happens in my property, someone comes to my property and, I don't know,
goes up 25%.
Something like that, yeah. So it's because I deserve that. That also happens. It goes both ways. The Gemara says both sides of that coin. But to me, it's always a very important lesson, because it's a way of seeing that the world runs with cause and effect and runs based on nature, but yet also it runs based on hashkacha, on divine providence. And they come together as one at one point. There's some place where they meet. And this is the place where they meet, is that things happen because you didn't take the natural safety precautions, but yet nothing would happen if you didn't deserve it to happen. So they both come together as one. I want to share with you one other approach to this mitzvah. This is more symbolic. This is more of a Hasidic thought from the Nesiv HaShem, the Slonimer Rebbe. And as I mentioned before, when we say Hasidic thought, often that means they take the words of a pasuk or of a mitzvah, and they'll kind of pull them out of context and draw a lesson from the words, despite that it doesn't apply to the context. Which means the lesson is a true lesson, but it's not what the verse actually means, but it's an important lesson and symbolism to take from it. So the Nesiv HaShem says that what it means is you build a new house. So he says symbolically it means if you restart your life, you do tshuva, a renewal, a personal renewal. You felt you were down, you felt you were on the wrong path, you felt low, you felt depressed, God forbid, and you pick yourself up and refresh yourself and restart. So you build a new home. I got rid of my old house, as it were, and I have a new home now. I'm a new person. Think about somebody who has a great Yom Kippur, Hashanah, and feels fresh and new for the year. I think that's somebody who is very, very down and picks himself up and says, I'm going to start fresh again. That kind of restarting a new home, new life, new commitments. So the Torah then says, you should make a fence around your roof. So he says that the word makkah is the same gematria as the value of yira, of fear. Makkah, it's actually, they're one off, but in gematrias you can count the word in to equal it. So they're the same gematria. So makkah is the same gematria as fear. So what does that mean? We know that a makkah is something which it holds you back from falling. Right? It's a fence. It's a protective fence holding you back from falling. The idea of fear, yira shemayim, fear of God, is also being able to rein yourself in, have safeguards so you don't do the wrong thing. It's also holding yourself back not to do an avera. You're reining yourself in. You're keeping that fence between you and the forbidden action. That's the fear of God. So it's also a makkah. And he says that you have to be sure that when you start fresh, when you start new, when you do tshuva, when you renew yourself, you have to make sure that in life you place the proper safeguards to maintain your new lifestyle. We all know how many times we try to restart something. We try to change. We try to do something new. And a week, a month, a few months later, we're back to our old habits. And the problem usually is because we didn't put the proper safeguards in place to maintain our new habits. So we fell back into our old routines. That's typically the problem. The makkah symbolically would be that once you've made that change, you built that new house, you have to be sure that you protect yourself so you can maintain that new house. And you don't fall from the new level that you've actually achieved. It's a safeguard. He says, why is it for the roof? So the roof symbolizes the person's head. It's the top of your body, it's the top of the house. That's the roof. And he says that when you make a makkah for your roof, it means, number one, that you're trying to protect your new thoughts and perspectives. You have a new perspective on life now. You've changed. You've renewed yourself. So those thoughts and perspectives have to be controlled so you can maintain that same outlook and don't fall back into your old outlook that you thought was the wrong outlook. Furthermore, he says that it's cited that you have seven different gateways to your head, meaning two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, and a mouth. Right, so and those are the way that you sense the world. It's, you know, the head is the part of your body which senses, takes in four or five senses are coming from your head, and that's where you take in the world, and that's you communicate with the world, and that's how you perceive what's happening around you. So when you make a makkeh l'gagecha, you're making a safeguard on those seven gateways into your brain, into your head, which means you want to be sure that your eyes are only seeing what they should see, your ears hear what they should hear, your mouth, I guess, eats what it's supposed to eat or says what it's supposed to say, and your nose only smells what it's supposed to smell. I mean, those are all safeguards for a person. And if you don't have safeguards around your senses, so again, you're liable to be drawn into your old habits. You can be enticed by the world around, persuaded by others. You can be drawn into routines which you're trying to escape from, and they draw you in. So there's a symbolism of this mitzvah that when you refresh yourself to make that barrier, to make that safeguard around you, so you're able to maintain your new habits, not fall into your old routines. So the mitzvah of makkah is a very basic mitzvah of safety. And the safety is, again, a Torah value. And it's a responsibility that we have on behalf of others. It's a mitzvah of compassion to be sure our homes are safe places for everybody who comes in. It's a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah that teaches us about divine providence and hashgacha, how there's a very, very fine line between bitachon, trusting God to take care of everything, versus ishtadlus, versus our human efforts to be sure that we're being responsible. And those two things have to meet at some point or another. And if those two things don't meet, then something's going to be off. If I'm irresponsible, then I can't expect that God's going to save people on my property. And if I take too many steps for safety, then I'm losing trust in God. So you have to, there's always that very fine balance. So I think it's very important for us to always to think about that in life. Besides the safety in our homes, we have to look in life and to say, how much trust do we have in God? How often are we grabbing at straws and taking too many steps, which are unnecessary? There are stories of great people, and these are very challenging situations. You know, let's say somebody, God forbid, is very sick and has to go for treatments. So sometimes you go for treatments, and the doctors say, you know, these treatments, there's a good chance they'll help, and, you know, you have to do what you can. Just go to the doctor. Sometimes, you know, you can just be grabbing at straws and just panicking because there's nothing else to do. So there's a certain point where you say, you know, I've done my part, now it's up to God. I can't do anything else. There's some point when you say, well, I have to take my responsibility and do what has to be done. Where you draw that line is very hard to know. But there's a certain point where you say, God, I've done what I can do. The rest is up to you. And in life, we have to be able to have that sense and have teachers to guide us, rabbis to guide us, and tell us where to draw that line. But it's important that line is drawn. You know, if somebody's being washed down a river, God forbid, so you can grab at a tree limb, it'll save you. You can also grab at blades of grass, and it won't do anything. So when you're grabbing the blades of grass, it's a waste of your effort and your time because you're just, let me say, grabbing at straws. If there's a tree limb to grab, then you have to grab the tree limb because that's going to save your life. So you have to always know what's grabbing at straws and what is the tree limb. What's security and what's panic. And it's very important, especially in our environment the past few weeks. There's been so much talk about security. And we have to realize the world hasn't changed that much in 2 weeks. You know, there were crazies before the tragedy, and the crazy is now also. And if we were responsible about security a month ago, then we're still responsible now. If we're irresponsible, we have to be responsible. But the fact that some nutcase came in and did a terrible thing doesn't change the situation. In terms of our responsibility, we have to be responsible. And in terms of Hashem, no, he's going to do what he has to do to protect us if we're doing the right things. And then that's the view of a Jew. That's the perspective we have on life and on security and on safety. So, any questions? Yeah.
You mentioned this is two.